No Direction and Paizo team up to bring you the Gen Con 2018 seminar coverage. No Direction would like to thank our advertising sponsor, the Roll for Combat Starfinder Actual Play Podcast. Listen at rollforcombat.com.
I'm always ready to go hot.
Oh. Steven runs
this much
hot.
Just went hot. All right. Hello, everybody. I would like to welcome all of you to our next Pathfinder playtest panel. This one is called Creating Your First Pathfinder Playtest Character. So I'll start this off by having everyone here on the panel introduce themselves. Hi, I'm Jason Bowman. I'm the director of game design at Paizo.
I'm Mark Seifter. I'm a designer at Paizo.
I'm Logan Bonner. I'm also a designer at Paizo.
Oh, I'm Stephen Radney McFarlane. I'm the senior designer for Paizo. I'm just checking the playtest supplies.
You got engrossed in this new book you picked up.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know you need this book to make a character?
Yeah. So step one.
And pencils or other writing utensils?
Step one, buy my book.
Yeah, step one, buy my book. Buy my book.
Or at least download it.
Or at least download it as a free PDF. So I think what we're going to do here today is talk about the process by which you make a character in the new version, in the new edition of Pathfinder, specifically with an eye towards creating your first playtest character. I had a dream for this seminar about handing character sheets out to everyone and asking you all to just make a character as we went along.
Yeah, that's cool. Where are those?
Yeah, I thought about it. And then I actually thought that when we got to the middle where everyone had to look up a feat to pick, or the whole thing would bog down into just a whole bunch of people turning pages, and it get really boring really quick. So,
but if you really want to follow along, tear the character sheet out of the back of the book you just bought.
That's right. And then go buy another copy of the book.
Or just start writing on it while it's in there.
But only if you got the special edition one.
That's right. Yeah. All right. So anyway, what we're going to do instead is we're going to walk you through the steps by which you will make a character. They're really pretty straightforward. And then after that, we'll just kind of open it up for general questions about the characters and about the game.
We should probably start with a really quick just overview of the playtest process.
Sure.
Because we're going to be doing, over the next several months, a series of kind of focusing on each part of the Doomsday Dawn adventure. So each of those is going to have some specific information on how to create a character for that chapter of the adventure, or how to level up a character for that chapter of the adventure. When you're playing in that adventure specifically, your GM is going to tell you that information when you start out. There are some special backgrounds that are only in that adventure, for example, that you'll need to know when you're starting with your character. But for the first level adventure, you're going to create whatever type of character you want. There are some restrictions on some of the later parts. But we're kind of doing sections for each chapter of that, and we're going to be kind of focusing on those at any given point. If you're playtesting in a different way, that's fine. If you're running through the adventures much more quickly or slowly, you'll still be able to contribute. We're going to have a series of surveys to get specific data on each part of that adventure. And if you really don't want to play that adventure, you just want to run your own game, you're free to do that as well. And we're going to have some general surveys to get information about specific classes and about the GMing experience. I think that covers most of the kind of playtest process.
Yeah. So creating your character for the new version of Pathfinder works pretty much just like it did before. It starts out by making sure you got a rule book. You can either grab the free PDF or you can pick up one of the copies here at the show. Once you got that and you got a character sheet, the first thing you need to do is the same step you always had to do, come up with a concept. What kind of character do you want to make? Do you want to play a dwarf barbarian? Do you want to play a halfling rogue? Do you want to play a goblin alchemist? Whatever you can come up with using the kind of the basic tools in the game, you can make that character. So, step one is always kind of form a concept. There's a bunch of different ways you can approach this, right? And we kind of let you do that however you want, right? Some people like to start with a concept. Some people like to sit down with the group and have everybody decide what the group needs before they kind of gel on a character. Sometimes you like to do it based on, what religion you want your character to be, or, there's a million different ways you can start.
And we talk about some of those in the intro to the rulebook itself.
Yeah, chapter one has a very robust section talking about how to build a character. So all of these steps will be in there. They're in chapter one. The first one is, how to come up with the concept.
Right. So do we want to, do each of these steps for one character that we're theoretically making on a sketchpad, so that we can have a sample?
Mark?
Yes?
You're making a character. What is your character... I'm not going to let Mark decide.
Yeah, what is what, the answer?
What
you guys should decide.
First person to raise their hand with a character concept. Right there. What are we building?
Goblin Barbarian.
Goblin Barbarian.
All right. Goblin Barbarian. And that's totally one way to get a concept is just with an ancestry in a class. Sometimes you'll have a concept that's more high concept. So... All right, our concept is Goblin Barbarian. That's going to make several of our other choices of steps easy to do.
Yeah, and I think we're gonna add a little bit to that. We're gonna play with it as a concept. We want a Goblin Barbarian who's a biter.
He's a biter.
That's what you're thinking right now. He's got lots of teeth.
He's a
rages
biter.
And bites people.
He auditioned for the role of Biter the Badger, Harsh's animal companion, and he failed, and he's never forgiven Harsh.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. He keeps hanging around the dwarf, but the dwarf doesn't want him there. All right, so...
Weren't we just talking about high concepts earlier?
All right, so you start out with your low concept.
Yeah.
Biter, that's a very high concept.
So one of the things that especially Jason likes to talk about are the ABCs of character creation. Which are your ancestry, your background, and your class. And those are going to be kind of the first three steps toward building your character. And each of those is going to tell you a lot about your character, and particularly the ancestry and the class are going to have your advancement options as you go up in level.
Sure.
So we know our ancestry for the character that we're making. He's a goblin.
Steven, flip to the goblins. You've got a book.
I'm busy.
So one of the first things you're going to do at this stage is you're just going to go to the goblin, in this case the goblin entry, and you're going to write down some of the details that you find in there. Each ancestry has a bunch of basic statistics like your hit points, your size, your base speed. You're going to want to jot those down. There's places on the character sheet for all of those, and you're going to want to note your current speed and everything. But the real thing that we're trying to note right now, you can fill in some of the details later. You can always come back and grab all the pieces you need. But the real big details we're trying to get right now are what boosts you get to your ability scores and what ability flaw that ancestry gives you, if any. So you're going to want to mark those down in your sheet. I just find putting a little tick next to an ability score that is getting a bonus, that's getting an ability bonus. And for the goblin, that's going to be a bonus to dexterity and charisma. So I'm just going to put a tick next to both of those. And then I get one free ability bonus, which I can put anywhere I want. So
we're a goblin biter, strength. We got to be able to latch on with our teeth.
I'm kind of thinking con, because he's going to be biting a lot of weird things.
I can see that. It depends on whether we're going for the intestinal fortitude or the strength of the bite. And that's also going to decide our ancestry feat, because there's two of them that...
Right. And you can always kind of come back later. So Mark might note strength or con and decide later down the line.
Let's decide between strength or con. Let's look at our ancestry feat, though. Do we want...
Well, first thing, we got to make sure to note our ability flaw.
Oh, which is wisdom.
Which is wisdom for goblins.
Yeah, being a biter doesn't sound like the wisest idea.
Yeah, this goblin isn't making good life choices, but that's okay. He's an adventurer.
For some perspective on the ancestries, most of them do have one free boost, which is can go in anything. And if you said, I don't want him to be that unwise, you could put that boost into the same thing as your flaw and kind of zero that out at character creation.
Yeah. But not this guy.
Not that guy.
No, we're perfectly okay with this guy not being too good on the wisdom plot.
Wisdom is just fine.
So we're also going to note his languages. He gets goblin and common. We're going to note that he gets dark vision. These are all things that are right on that first page of your ancestry. And the opposite page of your ancestry is going to be all of your ancestry feats. You don't have to pick this right now. There are some other steps that you probably want to do first, but this is a good chance for us to look through those feats and kind of think about what we might want to grab now before we start making all of our feat choices.
We already have
a
concept. There's like, goblins have big teeth. Is there anything there that's going to help them bite?
Eat anything.
Well, I was thinking that, too.
Eat anything is good
and
for the con build.
Razor teeth.
Yeah, for the strength.
Razor teeth does give you a bite attack as a goblin, which does sound like the direction we want this character to go.
I think we want razor teeth.
Yeah. So we might note that now. We might come back and make that choice later, but we could pencil it in.
Right.
No, this is one of the spots where we get to one of the interesting things about the character sheet. When you flip it over to the backside of the official character sheet, you'll see areas for your ancestry feats, and you'll note that they are listed. There's a little number for the level at which you get them. That way you can put them in the right spots. This is really helpful later on if you decide to retrain them, because you can retrain it from that position. That way you know that you can only get something up to that level.
Right.
So if you're, I'm going to trade out my fifth level fighter feat later. Okay, cool. But whatever you put in there had to be something you could get at fifth level, and that's noted on your sheet. It also is a really handy way for realizing that you've forgotten to take something. Which, you know, I mean, I've been running a game at home for like 5 years, and one of the people in that game is the company's publisher, Eric Mona. And I'm going to throw him under the bus right now. And he was out of town once, and we had someone else playing his character, and somebody noted, he was like, he's really off on his skills. Like, he did not spend all of his skill points. And you know, that's a real easy mistake to make. And, you know, we're all human. It happens to all of us. But the new way the character sheets are laid out really helps you make sure that you've got all the things you're supposed to have.
So
once you're done with your ancestry, the next thing you're going to want to do is decide on your background. So there is a spread, 2 pages of backgrounds. It's at the end of the ancestry chapter. So you're going to find it after all of the other ancestries. You're going to find the backgrounds in the game. Now, basically, the ancestry is like, you were born, who were your parents? Your background is kind of saying, what did you do when you grew up? Like, what was the situation in which you were raised, and spent the early part of your life? So picking your background, and these are meant to be kind of really open-ended so you can interpret them into the character in a way that you want. Do we have a background? A lot of you have... Scholar. Yes.
Decided to stop reading books and start biting.
Great.
And depending on how kind of like optimization focused you are, you can also look at the backgrounds, because each of them is going to give you some ability boost choices as well. So you might say like, I really want to make sure I get one with con, and kind of search for the ones that have con and kind of approach it that way. Or you can just look at something thematic and hope for the best.
Yeah.
So I heard gladiator and scholar.
I'm not a blader, I'm the blader.
Yeah, which I kind of like that one, the gladiator one.
I'm not a blader, I'm the blader.
Well, we don't have chosen one in there. We have 20 for now in the playtest.
That's more of a down the road destiny and back.
Yeah, but true. I think that works with gladiator too.
Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
So
let's go gladiator.
What do we get with gladiator?
If we go scholar, this guy's going to be so confused. It's going to be funny. So let's go gladiator. And what we're going to note, there's a couple things to note here. First of all, you get 2 more ability boosts from your background, one of which must go in 1 or 2 scores determined by the background. So what are the 2 scores that it can go in as a gladiator?
Strength or charisma.
Strength or charisma. Well, yeah,
let's do strength.
Charisma.
What?
Charisma. Show of hands. Who wants strength? Pretty good number.
Who wants charisma?
You bastard.
I think strength has it.
I think strength has it.
But here's the thing.
You get 2. Only one of them has to go in that. Yeah. So we're definitely going to put a tick next to strength, which is good, because if this barbarian doesn't get some strength in him sometime soon, that's going to be a problem. And then we're going to have 1 free one. This free one cannot go in strength, right? Because we already got 1 in strength. Every time you get a bunch of boosts as a package, you can never put more than 1 in 1 spot. But the next time you get boosts, you can double up, right? So those the boosts you got from your ancestry, it gave you dex and...
Charisma. So we couldn't
take
that.
And 1 free one. We couldn't put the free one in dex or charisma because we were getting them as all part of 1 package. But now that we're getting more boosts in a different package, we could take that free one and put it in dex, right?
Right.
Because we didn't put the other one in dex. So we put 1 in strength. We can't put the second one in strength, but we can put it anywhere else.
Who wants to grab con for the second one so we can finally eat some things?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
What else do we get from Gladiator?
You're also going to get 2 other things. You're going to get a skill feat, which you'll note on the back in the feat section. And this is usually something emblematic of your background. And it's a free skill feat for Gladiator that is...
Fascinating performance.
Fascinating performance, yeah.
That's going to be an interesting skill choice for a
barbarian. You don't want to see what that performance looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It involves eating.
Watch me eat this.
It's fascinating, all right. In kind of a I can't look away.
It's that freak show sort of fascinating.
And last but not least, you're also going to get a free lore skill. Lore is a skill that really you probably won't select with any of your free choices very often, but the game does give it to you every once in a while. So a lore is a very specific kind of knowledge. Think of it as a knowledge, but only about one topic. So you might have lore...
Alcohol.
Alcohol. Lore, owlbears. Lore, that town. And that only covers that little tiny topic. So Gladiator gets you lore what? Gladiator movies?
Russell Crowe.
Young Men in Tights.
Yeah, that's right.
Gladiator. Gladiatorial lore.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, no surprises there. If anybody has some questions about what it's like to be a gladiator, how to run a gladiator ring, or if you see, like, someone has tattoos on them that are clearly denote that they were a gladiator, you would be able to identify.
How to do tournament brackets, what the usual kind of things that you have to fight against.
You can use lore skills to make money. So, if you wanted to spend your downtime running a gladiatorial arena or fighting in the arena, you could use gladiatorial lore to make some money.
That's right.
Yes.
Right.
That's
so, what you can do. So for this, we'll go down the lore section, we'll write gladiator lore, and we'll check the box for trained, right? Because we get it trained for free. And we'll talk about what that means later. So, okay, we've decided our background. And now it's time for us to assign four more skill or ability boosts, because now we're moving into class, and the first thing you get is four ability boosts, and you can put these anywhere you want. But once again, you can't double up. But these four can go anywhere. So we're definitely putting one in strength.
Yeah,
right? I mean that's not even.
And it sounds like con again because we want to be able to eat some things. But the real question is, where do the other two go? Do we want some dex to dodge attacks, charisma to be doing this fascinating performance, wisdom to finally make up for our eight?
Now nah, we're
doing. We don't want to make up for it. Intelligence.
What are the starting stats that you're adding to?
So that's good to know.
That's
at
a good
this
question.
Point in time, it's good to kind of take stock of what these boosts actually mean. So basically, all of your scores start at 10, just kind of like the old buy system, to be honest. And a flaw takes you down to 8, and a boost raises you up by 2. And during character creation, there is no way for you to get more than 4 boosts in any one ability score because you get them in packets. And you get 4 packets. But that does allow you to have one score up at 18 and probably pretty easily have a second score at 16 if you focus. But you can also have a bunch of scores at 12 and 14 as well, depending on how you want to build your character. I should also note for those of you who like the method, the die rolling method is in the book, right? There is a method to roll 46, drop the lowest, and apply a limited number of boosts to make your character.
We'd ask you not to use that much for the playtest because otherwise you wind up with, like, well, monks are really overpowered in this playtest. He did roll all 18s, and wizards are terrible. He did roll all 3s, though, but they're just a bad class.
So, it just starts out. We wanted to focus on that method. So, right now, we've got a couple boosts in strength. We've got a couple boosts in con. We know we've got those things floating around. And so, we've got some scores that are starting to build up. We've got these four more. We're putting one in strength, one in con. Where do we want the others to go? Dex seems like a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Dex, you got it to be able to dodge attacks as a gladiator. They don't let them really wear that much.
And I definitely...
I feel like Mark would really relish the role-playing opportunity of having an 8 wisdom.
Yeah.
So I think we should leave that.
So what about charisma? That's not something you would expect with the barbarian, but we've got fascinating performance. And the more charisma we have, the better we're going to do.
I think Mark would really relish the role-playing opportunity of having a high charisma.
Sure.
I guess so. 8 wisdom is still going to be rough, so let's do this. Strength, con, dex, charisma.
All right. And finally, we know what our class is.
Yeah,
class
we said it.
Is barbarian. We kind of decided that early on. And before we get into any of the details of the barbarian, we're getting our last ability boost. And this one's just decided by your class. And barbarian gives you strength. So we now know what all of our stats are because we've now assigned all of our ability boosts. And at this point,
are you guys ready?
This is when you want to like write down all your stats and convert them over. That way you have them for making all the other decisions you need to make.
So we did not get a 16 because our goblin ancestral stats didn't necessarily go into the stats that we were looking for the most. We have 18 strength, 14 dex, 14 con, 10 intelligence. We didn't touch it. 8 wisdom, we flawed it and didn't touch it, and 14 charisma.
Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
So that's pretty good in a lot of things.
And those are going to now be how you figure out your modifiers for those ability scores. So an 18 is a plus 4 modifier. If you played Pathfinder 1, it's the same scale. So you're going to have a plus 4 strength, plus 2 dex, plus 2 con, plus 0 int, minus 1 wisdom, and plus 2 charisma.
Yeah. So all right. At this point in time, we're going to want to start filling in all of our class details. This goes relatively quickly, to be honest. It's a pretty straightforward process. We do have a couple choices we get to make, right? Because you want everybody to be able to make their character do what we want, do what they want to do. So the first thing we want to do, though, is note all of the proficiencies that the class gives us right off the bat, right? Because if you've paid attention to our blogs leading up to this, proficiency in the new game is kind of everything. Everything is based off the proficiency system. And whenever we talk about proficiency, there's basically 5 levels. There's untrained, trained, expert, master, and legend. As a first level character, you're not going to be master or legend of anything. You might be expert in one or two things. You're going to be trained in a whole bunch of stuff, and you're going to be untrained in a whole bunch of stuff. And your class, as a basics, gives you a lot of these to start with. So, for a barbarian, the first thing we're going to note is the hit points. So, you'll notice a barbarian gets 12 plus con modifier, just like before. But we also have some hit points from our ancestry. Your ancestry gives you some bonus hit points as well. And I think goblins get 6.
6.
6. So, we have 18 hit points plus our con modifier, which is 2. So, it sounds like our goblin barbarian, our first level goblin barbarian, has 20 hit points.
Yep.
That sounds like a lot of hit points, and we recognize that. But monsters hit for a bit more and hit a bit more often.
And they can crit us.
Those 20 hit points are not going to get you too far.
Better than the wizard.
Yeah. This is still better than the wizard.
Better than the elf wizard. Right.
The next thing we're going to note is our perception sometimes. Proficiency. And for that, we are an expert. So Goblin has pretty keen eyes. So we're going to mark the expert box on our perception, which is kind of up. Where is it on the character sheet? I forget. Down on the bottom.
It's up towards the top. Towards the top.
It's up near the top somewhere. One. But right. That's not going to help us in much because we have minus 1 from our wisdom.
Well, it'll help it not be so bad. After that, we're going to note all of our saving throw proficiencies, which I think is, expert in fortitude, trained in reflex, and expert in will. So right now we're just marking in those boxes. We're not doing any math yet. We don't have to do the math yet. We're just marking in the boxes to say this is what our proficiency level is. And now we get to skills. So skills is a two-part thing, and this is something that's been causing a little bit of confusion, so it's definitely something we're going to have to clean up for the final version of the game. There's two aspects to your skills that you need to note. One is which skills are a signature skill for your class. And what that means is those are the skills that your class specifically helps you learn, and because of that, those are the skills that you can take to the highest level of proficiency later on in your career. Right now, that doesn't really matter, because we're just marking it for future use. So in this case, the barbarian gets a signature skill in acrobatics, athletics, and intimidation. So all you do is you mark the signature box on those and call it done. What it means is later on, when you get more skill choices and you want to add more skills to your character, you can't take any skill above expert unless it's a signature skill, right? Which allows, certain classes to be really good at things and not just be like, well, I'm the guy with all the skills and I'm good at everything, and you might as well not even bother playing.
So as a gladiator, we're going to need performance for our fascinating performance. So we're going to need to not take all three, even though we do recommend trying to take your signature skills as a baseline if you don't have a further concept.
But that gets me to the other part of skills, which is then you get to choose a bunch of skills to become trained in. And the number that you get for a barbarian is 3 plus your intelligence modifier. So in this case, 3. Just 3. So we're not going to be able to take all the signature skills if we want to get performance. And we know we want to get performance because we got all this stuff that is all about performance eating, which is nightmarish. I'm assuming he's like in town eating
it's a hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, hot dog eating contest. It fit right in here at Gen Con.
Skip acrobatics, maybe. We're a little less capering and a little more feats of strength biting people, and we're pretty intimidating if we bite them.
That's fair.
What do you guys think?
Sure.
All right.
So we're definitely taking intimidate.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Those big, terrifying teeth. That's definitely got to be in there.
So. And some athletics so we can bust things up and, bite open boxes and things like that.
So this means you are trained in 4 skills, including the one you got.
Including gladiatorial lore. We're still not great at gladiatorial lore because we're not the brightest, but we've got it and we can do it.
All right, so the next thing you're going to want to do is flip to the barbarian. Okay, so once you're done with that, you also have to mark your weapon and armor trainings, right? You know, it'll for a barbarian, that's trained in all simple and martial weapons, and for armor, it's trained in light and medium armor. So you just mark the train boxes there. Simple, straightforward. Then you're going to want to flip to the classes table, the thing that tells you all the things you get at that class. There's a couple reminders built into this table. I think it starts off with...
It reminds you to take a race feed and stuff. So if you just go to your class, it'll tell you everything that you get at first. Yeah, level, not just the things you get.
It's got some reminders in there. That doesn't mean you suddenly get an extra one. It's just, yeah, you get one at first level. Make sure you've picked it. But this is also the point where you note some of the class features that you get right away at first level that are kind of part of the class. So for Barbarian, obviously, that's Rage. Rage is an ability that you activate as an action. And for the next three rounds, you get a bonus on your damage. And
you get temporary hit points.
Temporary hit points.
And you're going to do some extra damage. And in exchange, you're going to lose a little bit, just one AC. Yeah. That's fine. I'm sure they won't crit you by one.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be fine. And that's going to last you three rounds every time you use it. So that's what Rage is going to do for you. Do you get a barbarian feat at first level? Mm-hmm.
You do, but first we better pick our totem.
That is true. Yeah. We better.
And
pick
I
totem
think
first.
For a biter who was auditioning to be a badger, the animal totem might be a good way to go.
Yeah, that way we don't even need a weapon. So
that focuses more
what
on our
animal
bite.
Is this that you're totemizing?
Well, what are our choices on the list?
We've got ape, bear, bull, cat, deer, frog, shark, snake, and wolf.
What about shark, right? Everyone was saying shark. It's got to be shark.
His head is already kind of shark-shaped.
We literally have razor teeth normally, so I can't wait to see what I'm going to get when we go into Rage.
Yeah, so...
You've got, a fin taped to your back.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do.
So, each class, no matter what class you pick, is going to have a couple choices like this for you to make. Right, some element or feature of the class where you get to make a decision about what way you want it to go. For Barbarian, Totem is one of the big choices you make at first level. So, what's the shark animal totem going to give you?
Alrighty. Well, you're going to get a bestial rage totem ability. When you rage, you gain your chosen animal's unarmed attack or attacks.
Is that a bite?
That is a bite.
How much?
For 1d10 piercing damage.
1d10? That is quite a bite. I'm happy with shark. You guys
raging,
picked well.
1d6.
Okay.
When raging, 1d10.
Well,
that's like a two-handed weapon.
Or this gives us the option to rethink that first feat we took. And go, well, now we get a better bite when we're raging, and we're going to be raging most of the time when we want to bite stuff. So, do we need razor teeth anymore?
Yeah, I think you need the backup of razor teeth.
The backup
of
razor teeth?
So, when you're not raging, when you're just lounging around the house, and
you're trying
like
to, open up a bottle of beer. Yep.
But we might be able to go to eat anything. I think, obviously, at fifth level, when we get another ancestry feat, we'll want to take the other one, whichever one we didn't take yet.
Yeah.
So
now we get to pick.
I actually think the razor teeth is one you have to pick at first level. I think it's.
Oh, you're right. Oh, yeah. So we better take it now because it fits our character. And Steven's right. You're not always in a rage.
You're not always.
There's a handful of your ancestry feats that are marked with the heritage tag. What that means is that you have to pick them at first level. Because it doesn't make sense for you to be like, I am fifth level and suddenly I grew extra teeth.
I love sharks that much.
Let you go to the dentist.
Well,
I replaced all my teeth with shark's teeth.
That is creepy and
horrifying.
It was an unlicensed dentist.
No, clearly not.
Like the guy from Futurama who just does organ exchanges.
Poor Zoidberg. All right. This is also going to give you some notes about what type of resistance you get later when you get resistance. Right now you don't have any. And it also comes with anathema, a thing that you can't do. It's a prescription against your activities. And in this case, the animal totem says that you're not allowed to wield weapons. You use your natural attacks, which is fine because we want to make a goblin that bites people.
That's what I was going to do anyway.
Also, you can't treat animals badly. Especially animals of your chosen.
I think it's
type.
Only the chosen totem. Yeah, I respect the sharks.
Dogs and horses are not safe.
do not wield a shark tooth spear or a club.
Yeah.
That's the worst of all.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, well, yeah, it's a weapon.
That'll get you kicked out of the club.
Get shark skin armor might be okay, though, as long as the shark was not. I wasn't mistreating the shark.
As long as you asked him first, like, what kind of sharks you hang out with?
Right. I think we just need to go after the Jets now and just take them down.
Oh, Mark.
All right, so that's our seminar, folks.
So you also get to pick a barbarian feat. All barbarians get a feat at first level. Not all characters get a free feat at first level, especially the spellcasters tend to.
Can we get Raging Swimmer yet? Because normally I would say Sudden Charge at first level, but we are a shark. Or is that a higher level feat?
It is not a first level feat.
Okay, we'll get it later.
At first level, we have the following feats to choose from. We have acute vision that makes it so you have low light vision while raging, but we already have dark vision, so we don't need that.
Yeah.
We have raging intimidation, which allows you to demoralize while raging.
That's pretty good for our charismatic.
Yeah, that's not a bad choice.
That's not a bad choice.
We have Moment of Clarity, which allows you to spend two actions so that you can do something that normally you couldn't do while raging. That doesn't sound like this character.
I don't think we have any moments of clarity with this character.
And then the Barbarian can also choose Sudden Charge, which allows you to move up to twice your speed and make an attack at the end of that movement. So I don't know. It sounds to me like we're between Raging Intimidation and Sudden Charge.
Yeah, those are the clear front runners. What do you guys think? Show of hands for Raging Intimidation. Show of hands for Sudden Charge.
Frenzy.
That all right, Sudden Charge got it for a shark feeding frenzy. All right, we're doing this. Sudden Charge.
And Sudden Charge does mean that since raging is an action, you can rage and then move double your speed and attack. So you get one attack in that round, even if your enemy's pretty far.
Try to go straight up in the water.
All right, so at this point in time, we've made most of the choices that we need to make for our character. At this point in time, we need to buy gear. And we need to start figuring out some of those numbers that we put down on our sheet. So
we also should probably have a name at some point.
Yeah, we probably need a name for this character.
You said
Finn. Finn? Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Finn.
Not going to argue with that.
We got it, Finn.
So, figuring out some of those statistics. Remember, before I talked to you about, whether or not you're trained in a thing, untrained in a thing. So when it comes to figuring out your skills, your attack bonuses, all these sorts of things, you're going to look to see what your proficiency level is. If you are untrained in a thing, your proficiency bonus on that is going to be equal to your level minus 2. So in this case, -1 if you're untrained at a thing. Now, most things also allow you to add an ability score to them as well. So let's just take a look at our skills.
If you're trying to make a medicine check, right, for example.
Yeah. So on our skills, a medicine check for this character would be -2 for untrained, -1 for my wisdom, and 1 for being level 1 for a total of -2.
Yeah.
The ones we actually trained in, we have gladiatorial lore, 1 for the level, +0 train, none for int, +1. Performance and intimidation are both +3. It's 1 for the level, 2 for charisma. And athletics is +5 for now, because we don't have armor yet. So that's 4 for our strength, 1 for our level.
Yeah, let me finish teasing that out just so that everybody can follow along. Your level of proficiency determines kind of what the formula is. So it's always your level plus a modifier, and the modifier is determined by your proficiency. So if you're untrained, it's your level -2. If you're trained, it's just your level. If you're an expert, it's your level +1. If you're a master, it's your level +2. If you're a legend, it's your level +3. So, and that's the same formula no matter what we're talking about. Attack rolls, skill checks, saving throws, perception, all of them use that exact formula over and over and over again. This allows us to do a lot of good balanced things throughout the game and allows us to have a math formula that actually scales up to high levels well.
Like and our intimidation that we took, we can use that against the opponent's will. We could not do that in Pathfinder First Edition. It would just always work against your opponent's will.
So the other thing that there is in the game, too, is that sometimes instead of making a check, you have a passive thing. You have the DC of that thing. Armor class is like that, right? You don't make an armor class check. You have an armor class. So for that, the formula, once again, works the same way. The proficiency works the same way. It's just at the end you add 10.
And that's instead of rolling.
Yeah. So a lot of these things will also add other modifiers as well, like attack rolls will add the modifier for the weapon. Armor class obviously will add the modifier for the armor. Many of your other things can end up with modifiers because of spells and other situational things. But for our character sheet, we'll just need to fill out what those bonuses are. So before he mentioned that, you know, his athletics was a +5, and that's because his level is 1. He's trained in it, so that's a 0. And he has a 4 bonus to his strength because of his strength. Strength 18. So that's how we get a +5. So we just write the +5 in right now. We probably can't do our weapons just yet because we don't know what they are.
We can't use them. You know what? It's anathema.
Yeah, that's right. We're not going to have any.
Yeah, you're going to have some money left over.
We can go down and just write bite in our proficiency.
I've written it down.
And because that's an attack that we are born with, that we have, you're automatically trained in it. So in this case, our attack bonus on that is going to be equal to 1, our level, 0 for being trained, +4 for strength. So we're going to have a +5 on our bite attack. And then we're going to note the damage, which is going to either be a d6 or a d10, depending on whether or not we're raging. Apparently, the teeth grow bigger when we rage. Yeah. Let's go with that.
I mean, you grow shark's teeth as a human who didn't have razor teeth when you raise as a shark.
That is really creepy.
Get another row.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then we'll go ahead and add the +4 on that. So it's going to be a d6 +4 or a d10 +4.
Or a d10 +6.
Because that's right.
Gotta add the extra rage damage whenever we have the d10.
Yeah,
so I've noted that on the sheet.
So when this guy rages, he's going to be biting things for a d10 +6.
That's quite a bite. I mean, Jason, when you said biter at the beginning of the battle, did you even think we were going to do this much biting
damage? No, not really. I forgot about the shark.
Always forget about the shark.
Yeah, they always forget about the shark. So we're also going to go and pick out some equipment for this. We'll assume we pick up a bunch of gear, but we'll also, pick an armor.
Yeah, your armor's going to be...
Let's get some hide armor.
Important. Hide armor does seem appropriate.
Right.
So hide armor doesn't cost too much. You start out with 150 silver pieces. You'll notice that characters are given silver pieces at first level, not gold. Gold, get plenty of gold in your character's career, but we knocked the economy down to a silver economy at low level, so you actually care about some of the other coins. I mean, how many of your Pathfinder First Edition characters in your first adventure were like, oh, there's 8 copper in here?
hey, those are very valuable for casting light on.
That's right. Yeah. That's the only reason you kept a sack of those around. But now you actually care about those, at least for a couple levels before you graduate into mostly gold. So you'll be buying a whole bunch of things with your silver. How much does hide armor cost?
20 silver.
20 silver.
Oh, that's easy. Expensive. We got that.
We got plenty of money left over because we're not buying weapons.
And hide armor is medium armor, mm-hmm. but it doesn't slow us down anymore in the playtest, right? Nope.
That's correct.
No, it does not.
But it doesn't give the best bonuses, but it gives pretty decent bonuses. It gives +3 to your armor class, right?
Okay.
It does.
And how much to our touch armor class?
Nada.
0.
Oh.
It doesn't protect you much.
Okay. Well, in the gladiatorial arena, we don't fight too many wizards, hopefully.
Yep, that's fine. It'll be fine. At this point in time, we can also go ahead and figure out our armor class now. So our armor class is going to be 10, +3 for the armor. We'll start this over. 10, +1 for our level. +0 for proficiency because the barbarian said we were trained in medium armor, so we are trained in wearing this armor, so it's a 0 there. And then we're going to add our dexterity, which is 2, and then our hide armor, which is 3, and now we have our armor class, which is
16.
That's not too bad.
15 when you're raging.
Yeah,
15 when raging.
That's not a terrible armor class for a first level barbarian.
The touch is going to be not great.
The touch armor class, on the other hand, is going to be 10, +1 for level, plus
her level, from dex.
+0 for being trained, +2 for dex, and that's
0 from the armor.
It. So, because the armor's not giving us any. So we're going to be at a touch armor class of 13. So
or 12 when we're raging.
And 12 when we're raging. So
what's our armor check penalty on that armor? I need to apply it to our athletics skill.
3. Well, not all athletics checks.
You're right. Not the attack ones, which are important for gladiators. We got to do all sorts of weird combat maneuvers with our athletics skill.
And the attack ones, in this case, from the athletics skill are going to be like grapple someone, to trip someone, kind of things that were combat maneuvers in Pathfinder.
Things the gladiator wants to do the most. We're not going to take the penalty. Yeah. So I'll put +2, and I'll put +5 in parentheses. But swimming For a shark, well, we're going to want to get some enhancements to swimming and maybe get a higher quality armor later on so that we don't want the shark to sink. That's just
first
not
level character.
Right.
You can't have it all. So we'll spend some of the other money on some of the other gear in the chapter, and we'll make sure that we're tracking our bulk. We use bulk in the new game instead of pounds. Generally speaking,
this character is probably going to be just fine.
Yeah, we're going to be fine.
How much bulk is hide armor? Just
despite
one
the fact
or two?
That you probably are buying about 20 bulk worth of chum.
Two.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
Two.
Actually, he has all that extra money. He can't use weapons, but he can buy a bunch of javelins for the fighter, no problem.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
Hey, everybody, presents.
Maybe I'll buy some potions and other potables if my GM allows me to go into the later chapter.
He does not.
Oh.
All right.
That's it then.
I guess we know who the
so at that point in time, I think we've made most of the major choices we need to make. For
we really have.
At this point in time, we fill out all the rest of our statistics that are on the sheet. We decide things like alignment. I think this guy's probably chaotic, but let's call him chaotic good.
Okay,
he's a good guy. He's a good shark.
Sharks are good.
He bites for a cause.
Fish are friends.
That's right. He's an awful lot like that guy now. And we've already got a name. We've got Finn. And I think that's pretty much it. I think we've just created a character. That's all the choices you need
we
to make.
We got it.
And the great part about this
Finn.
Is that we've taught you that once. It's the same process over and over and over again. And when you get to the class, you just are making those different class choices again for different classes. It's really no different. As characters level up, it's the same process. Oh, I gained a level. Okay, cool. I get more hit points. I check some of my, I go back to my class table. I see what I get at that next level. Usually it's a feat of one variety or another. It could be an ancestry feat. It's going to frequently be a class feat.
Skill feat,
skill feat. Those two tend to alternate back and forth between you get a skill feat or a class feat, a skill feat or a class feat. You also get more skill proficiencies as you go up, so you can go back to your skill boxes and tick some of those up and gain better bonuses. And that's pretty much how the game works. It's the modularity of that really kind of allows it to be like once you learn it once, you kind of don't need it explained to you every time you make a brand new character of a different class.
The big difference here would be if you were building a spellcaster, you
that'd
would
be
have
the only
a
difference.
Step of picking all your spells.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fairly straightforward. So
we only have like 6 minutes left before we got to wrap up this seminar, and I realize we spent just the past 44 minutes talking about how to build a character, but if anybody
we built a character.
We built a character. So if anybody has any further questions, we'll be happy to take them, and I know we've probably got one from Twitch. I'm going to start there.
You have a lot from Twitch on this subject, and they've been coming since Thursday.
Oh my God,
so
okay.
I'm going to give you two of them, but they're small and related.
All right.
Are all classes trained in unarmored defense by default, and at every level, does that mean your AC will go up by one?
So, Twitch already has these questions, so I don't think we need to repeat them because we're running low on time.
Right.
So the question was, are all characters trained in unarmored defense? Yeah,
yes.
They are. That's a mistake. We missed that. We meant to put that in, and it got missed. There's a handful of very tiny errata things that we need to announce that we'll probably announce here within the next day or two. That is one of them.
Yep.
So everyone is trained in unarmored defense.
It's
so if
on
you're
our
not
list.
Wearing armor, you just add your level, and that does mean that characters AC. Generally speaking, goes up by one every time they gain a level. So your AC does get bigger and bigger and bigger. Higher level characters are better trained to avoid being murdered. That kind of is what happens. So good questions on those. That's really good. It's something we've been meaning to try and find a way to announce. This is a great way to announce that.
That's good. You guys noticed one of our biggest top errata
questions.
Yeah,
that was right at the top of the list because people suddenly realized, wait, why
I think
is
that
my
was
armor
number
class
one.
Really terrible?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, right here.
What's this guy's resonance?
How is that? Oh, yeah,
sure.
We should put our resonance
on there. One thing we did
not
calculate was the character's resonance. The question was, what is Finn's resonance? So resonance, the resonance formula is equal to your level plus your charisma modifier. So in this case, he starts with a pretty healthy 3 resonance. And for a first-level character, that's a lot because he doesn't have any magic items on him.
Yeah.
So he's not really worrying about that. And if he comes across a whole bunch of potions... He can drink like 3 of them in a day, and odds are he's not even going to have 3.
Unless his party is full of alchemists, and Finn keeps taking all the elixirs for himself from those alchemists, He's going to be hard to go through.
Three, yeah. What? Well, he's going to need to because he doesn't bother uncorking the bottle. He just eats it.
Oh, that healed me, but then the glass.
Can we go one step back to what is resonance?
Sure. Let me explain what resonance is really briefly. This is a deeper topic, but basically resonance is a score that helps determine how much magic you can use in a day before you kind of burn out.
Magic items specifically.
Magic items specifically. It has nothing to do with spells. Every item you wear that is a magic item that provides you a bonus all day costs you one of your resonance. And then all the magical things that you can do, drink, activate, shoot, all of those from magic items cost you one resonance every time you use them. This allows us to simplify that process a lot by not having you have to track, oh, that thing gets used for 8 minutes a day. These minutes do not need to be consecutive, and things like that where you had 18 different pools that you had to track instead we just have one unified system.
Things like magic weapons that if you're just attacking with it, you're just getting the magical benefit without having to use any resonance. But like if that same weapon shoots a ray of fire when you activate it, that would cost resonance.
Yeah, you don't have to spend resonance just to use a magic sword. You do have to spend resonance to gain the benefits of magic armor. Because it's something you wear. Over here.
A number of playtest design choices sound like Starfinder. How intentional was that?
Yeah. It's actually kind of the other way around.
Well, the two games were born at the same time. The question was, was there any influence from Starfinder, and how did that relate to Pathfinder 2nd Edition? Interestingly enough, the two games were born in the office at around the exact same time. A few months, they were off by each other. I think the discussions for what Pathfinder 2nd Edition needed to be actually probably started a few years earlier than that, but the work itself didn't start till around the same time. And we were part of the early design of Starfinder as well, and were making similar choices. Now, Starfinder needed to come out sooner, and also its design mandate was to make a science fantasy game that was more compatible with first edition Pathfinder. That way you could take material from first edition Pathfinder over. As a result, only some of the things could be done there, and we could do other things with this one. So yeah, you're going to see some similarities, because we were like, oh, we can try some of this, we can push with some of these directions. But ultimately, you know, we worked on that a little bit, handed it off to the Starfinder team, and they did a fantastic job making that game a reality. As a result, they also went in some directions that we didn't go and made some cool design space that we didn't even think of. So they're similar. I like to think of them as siblings, they're not really in sequence.
Starfinder has a few things that it took from our early discussions, and that's about it. We didn't really take anything from Starfinder. I would say the hazards that we have and the traps in Starfinder share a lot of DNA, and then the leveling up of the ability scores.
Yeah. Yeah. So the ability scores, I think, are one of the things that kind of went Starfinder first and then into...
Well, no, they took an early version of one that we were planning to use, but
we don't
doesn't
need
really
to
matter.
Some of the things were iterations of each other. So it's really complicated and to be honest, rather boring. All right. I got time for one more question up here in the front.
What level of Kerop will give you the best, most useful data?
Character optimization will give us the most useful data? We need all of the levels of character optimization. We need somebody who is bleeding edge and figuring out the most broken combo that does 3 times as much damage as we intend anyone ever to do, so we can get rid of that combo in the final game. We need people who don't know what they're doing and start being Goblin Barbarian. Let's put everything in Charisma and Wisdom and see what happens with that character. And we are trying to make a game where the bleeding edge is not going to make the game less fun for everyone else, and where not knowing what you're doing, we sort of guide you a little bit more so that you're not going to make a mistake that is suddenly less fun unless you build things very intricately.
I would say if you are making like a bleeding edge combo and you find out something really weird or really dysfunctional or really broken, please give us that information. We're going to have some kind of free response surveys that have like fields you can fill out with text. That are kind of separate from the like core data point surveys, and please give us that kind of information through that venue, because we aren't going to necessarily see it unless there's a really weird trend toward a certain feat.
Yeah, we might get a lot of interesting data from the class specific surveys that are going to launch a little later, about a month from now or so. We're going to launch surveys, one for each class, And those surveys are going to go in depth and detail on kind of what choices people are making with the classes as they play them.
Right. But it may be tough to distinguish a really popular feat that everybody thought was cool from a bleeding edge one that was causing problems without a little more context.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, everybody. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the seminar. I hope you guys have a great Gen Con, and thank you for coming.